This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off to Kicksville. The Crickers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hello to our friends at 98.9 The Rock in Kansas City, the legendary rock station, also Portland's classic rock, 92.3 KGON, and our friends in Appleton, Wisconsin at 96.9 The Fox. Big show for you today, random question. Question is coming up. Your guess is as good as mine, and ask The Men's Room. In the meantime, today we do our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Jeff. Random, welcome random, to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Jeff, let's see here.
Jefe.
All right. Okay, here. Oh, Jeff, let's go with this one. This seems like something right up your alley. Jeff, what happened at the strip club?
Other than spending way too much money?
How much is way too much money?
Probably the biggest time was probably about $2,500.
God damn!
Was that in one weekend or one time?
That was one particular night. That was happened to be a really really awesome place in Rhodes, Greece.
What do I get for $2,500 at a Grecian strip club?
Pretty much whatever you want.
Did you get laid? Did you have sex?
Yes.
Okay, no, that had to be the answer. If you spend $2,500 on a strip club and you tell me you didn't get laid, I'd have to reach to the phone and slap you somehow.
Was it, I mean, did you have to spend that much to get there, or was that just the flat rate?
It was small incrementals, you know, getting lap dances, buying drinks, all that stuff. And, you know, one chick was like, well, if you pay me, like 300 euro... You get it all. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Say no more. All right.
Move on. How about
that?
20, 40, 60, 81.
Yeah. 20, 40, 60, 82. Yeah, I see how that goes.
It'd be great if you could pay in coins. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Just hold it out there. Yeah. Just dump it in there. So that was probably pretty. So if you could, would you go back to that establishment?
Hell yeah! I probably wouldn't spend that much again, but that place was awesome.
You wouldn't spend that much again because now you know you only need 300 euros.
Did you go there by yourself?
No. I was in the Navy at the time, and we pulled into port there. So there were about, I don't know, 500 other dudes I knew there.
In the one club?
Oh, I'm exaggerating, but it was just full of other sailors.
So the word on the ship was, hey, this is where you need to go. This is where we're all going.
Why are those ads on TV, right? Because everything they say, okay, because listen, there's all kinds of different people in the world, and you watch different commercials for the different branches of the military, and the Navy has all their stuff, and it's all very tech, and they show the water, but if they said, by the way, we pull into port in Greece, and listen, man, 300 euros, you can hook up with this, I'm telling you, the enlistment would go through the roof. That's what we want to know.
It's also technically illegal in the Navy.
So are a lot of things. A lot of things are illegal. Listen, it's America. We got more laws on the books than any other country. You can't. Don't sweat it. It's the magnitude of what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. If I get busted smoking a joint on a plane, I'm going to feel better than if I murdered someone.
I don't have any strip club stories quite like that.
We were at the one where, it was some radio event that we did at a different station on the East Coast. And one of our stops on the guy's night out, as it were, was a strip club. At this place, I mean, there is no woman in there you're dying to see naked. In fact, you might give them money. Like, if they start naked, you give them money to put stuff on, and they'd make more money. So whatever the case, outside smoking, I don't remember if I was with Ted or Miles, but I'm talking to one of you guys outside and a third guy, John Boucher. We're all outside talking, and one of the listeners comes out, and he's pissed. I mean, he is pissed, and he's looking for us because, you know, we're quote-unquote hosting this thing. So we have to deal with the problems, and this guy rolls up, and God damn it, man. What the F was that? Hey, man, what happened inside wasn't there. The woman's up on stage. She's doing her dance. And I guess she's lactating. And started squirting her breast milk on everybody, man. And his shirt was wet. And I'm like, listen.
Guy's not out.
I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have an answer to that, man. I don't know.
What was said before the milk hit you?
I think she, the way it was, he was the most upset. Some other guys, but was, the guys that didn't get wet thought it was mm-hmm. funny. The guys that had some moisture on them were just a little freaked out. No one knew it was going to happen. And the way, the one thing they all agreed on, like, no one provoked her. This was just something she did. This was her specialty, which I do feel like, you know, even if you go to the circus, they say, it's a bearded lady. They let you know. It, right? I mean, and that's fair.
Yeah, I've had it done. Like, I've been to a club before, and they'd be like, hey, blah, 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 I was lactating. Like, okay, good for me.
Right, I'm, but I'm that's how you are. It's right? a warning.
Reason we asked what happened in the strip club, here's a doozy. A Manhattan chef is suing the Hustler Club for $1 million, claiming a stripper punched him in the face and knocked out his tooth when he called her a bad mother. This is according to police reports. Dr. David Kupferstein was visiting the club in Manhattan's West Side when a dancer got angry and slammed a glass into his mouth as he was taking a sip of his drink. The chef told the New York Post that the woman had taken a special interest in the group of friends, and as she spoke with them, told her and the group about her children and how they seemed to be getting in trouble with the police. I said, it sounds like you're a bad mother. I guess she didn't like that. And then he described how the dancer punched him while he was sipping his drink, knocking out his left front tooth in the process.
Damn.
A few bouncers escorted him out of the club, and after a couple minutes, they found my tooth on the floor and brought it out to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Manager allegedly promised to pay for the dental bills at first, but then reneged on the claim. He said he was left with a gap in his grin until he was able to get a temporary fake tooth and expects years of expensive dental work ahead. One of the restaurants I was interviewing for was called Smile, he told the Post. The irony was thick. He's suing for $1 million and has filed a claim. Yes, he was trying to get a job at Smile, but
that's like called Smile.
That's that didn't work out.
Got a job at Smile.
Smile?
Yeah, Smile. Oh, listen, we understand that it broke out. Why don't you glad Smile? That's true.
That's like he died slowly. Sounds like you're a bad mother.
Oh, man.
That's probably one that came out quick, but I wanted that back.
I'll tell you what, man.
Regretted it as soon as he saw it.
Strip club. Because I get why he said it, but then as that came out of his mouth, he had to be like, that's not the right thing.
I'm supposed to think it. Think it. Don't say it.
When Hair Club and I were in Reno, we were not looking for a strip club. We were actually looking for a place to eat.
Would you want to go to a strip club in Reno based on what you saw?
It was like the reverse of all these things. So like, all right, let's go get some sushi somewhere, you know,
in Reno.
So we asked this dude, where's the best sushi in Reno? And they said, well, it's actually down here at the strip club. So we go down to the strip club, and yes, they have a full sushi bar.
Right,
it is insane, and there's sushi chefs. And they're doing their thing, and they're all smiling, and there's dancers, and you sit there, and you're like, oh my God. Like, I'm in a, you know, and you're watching some dude eat a spider roll, thinking to yourself, you know, that looks pretty good, but at the same time, where you are just makes it surreal, so you're not really sure if you should order any food or not.
How close will the dancers be to your food?
That's my question.
They will come right up to the table while you're eating, yes.
And I mean, so they're just
they make
full
sure.
nude tassels.
Right, exactly. I mean, just like, beware.
Well, I mean, are they topless or
they're fully naked.
Completely naked. You're trying to eat sushi.
Completely naked.
And there's like a vagina bouncing up and down on the other side of the table.
Beware of the wasabi.
Wow, that's a... man, oh, man.
How was the sushi? I didn't get it. You can't get past it. You couldn't bring yourself to eat sushi. In a strip club, no. So we went somewhere else to eat.
I'd eat a steak in a strip club.
Yeah. I would eat a steak in a strip club, too.
Why not sushi?
It's just too close.
It's just not... It's the fact that it's not cooked. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like... At least I know the steak's been on the grill. Anything maybe got a chance to be burned off.
So that's
you know,
it.
Like it was cooked.
Hello, Dan. Welcome to the men's room.
What is up? Hola.
Hola. Hola.
All right, Dan, this kind of plays off the pterodactyl porn, but what were you surprised to find out that someone was into? What were you kind of surprised to find out that someone you knew that they had an interest in?
That I was surprised that someone had an interest in me. Oh, man. I don't know. That would maybe be my last girlfriend because we were in friends for 30 years. Am I going down the right trail here? We were friends for 30 years, came over to visit, and then we started dating, and she wanted to marry me, like, right off the bat.
And are you still together?
Oh, no.
Wait, you were friends for 30 years.
Had sex two or three times, and that ended the whole deal.
Well, she wanted to marry me. She wanted to have a joint bank account, and there's just a lot of things going on, and my kids and my family are like, them are all red flags. And so I kind of backed out of that.
Did she have a giant bank account?
Actually, her dad owned a cabinet company, and he's like a millionaire.
Okay.
She has her own company, too, but it was really weird.
So what was the breaking point? You just broke it off with her because she wanted to get married?
Well, there's a lot of issues. Her brother was that Tristan Sheriff actually killed him. They came out and they to help him. He called because he couldn't get in his house. He was tripping out a little bit there and didn't know what was going on, hallucinating, and then they started beating him up, and they just kept beating him up and tasing him. They tased him like 30 some times, man. And since he's going through some stuff, you know, there, and it messed her up. So emotionally, she's kind of, you know, going through a hard time. And,
okay, yeah.
And then she's got problems with her kid, which she kind of can't handle, you know. And I'm telling her, you know, different things. Like, if your kid's carving in the microwave, you know, the next day you don't take him to the movies with his friend, man. And that was kind of an issue. And it was more just wanting to own me, bro.
Yeah, it sounds to me like even besides that, I wouldn't even get near that with a 20-foot pole. No, thank you. The reason we asked, what were you surprised to find out someone was into? You might have heard this before, but Saddam Hussein, among other things that he did in the world, was a wannabe author. And one of the books was a romantic novel called Zabiba and the King.
Well, one thing about Saddam was when you looked at him, you always thought, I feel like romance, not, hey, that guy looks like he smells bad.
It came out in 2000. If you don't believe me, you can go and pick up a copy of Zabiba the King on Amazon.com.
Yes, she touched my...
But let's cut to the quick here. Let's get to the best part of the book. A scene where a man has a passionate encounter with a bear. The passage reads like this. Even an animal respects a man's desire if it wants to copulate with him.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't a female bear try to please a herdsman when she drags him into the mountains, as it happens in the north of Iraq? She drags him into her den so he, obeying her desire, would copulate with her.
That's his romance novel?
Yeah.
Soak it up with a bear.
Bear on human sex.
Wow, Saddam.
Get out of here.
Into some freaky decay.
Look, man, at least the bear is a living human creature. A pterodactyl's been dead for a long time.
A bear's a living human creature.
Yeah, I mean, you could actually
living
find...
Living human
well,
creature.
Well, not human, but a living animal, you know what I mean? It's alive.
That makes it worse. It means chance. You can do it.
Right, you can with a pterodactyl.
Right, that's why I feel better about that.
Come into my cave?
Random question, 844-999-OLA. More of your calls coming up on a random question. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Ask the Men's Room on the way. If you have a question for any of us here in the Men's Room, just shoot us an email to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. Make the subject Ask the Men's Room. We'll do that right before we drink and toast with a shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-OLA.
Hello, random, Matt. Random, welcome random, to the Men's Room.
Hola,
Bitola. Hola. All right, let's see what we got for you here, Matt. Okay, let's go with this one. What would you say is the most trouble that you got into as a teenager?
Let me think. I didn't get into too much trouble. I just got grounded for a month for doing this. But when I was like 15, I live on a private road. So when my parents were gone, me and my friend took a Pathfinder, like a Nissan Pathfinder, and decided to go drift around the road because it's gravel and there's all these turns. And I mean, it's not like we wrecked it, but the neighbor saw us and stopped us and he punched me to get the keys out of the ignition because I wasn't going to give them to him. And that was about it. They called our parents and I was grounded for the rest of the summer.
Okay. Yeah, you stole your parents' car.
Yeah.
He punched you, huh? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, he was kind of like pretty crazy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you rolled that thing trying to like peel out in the grass fault and the
gravel.
Gravel.
No, I like grass fault.
Grass fault, right?
It's like AstroTurf, but it's grass fault.
Well, no. He like did the crazy thing. He pulled out in front of me. He was hiding in the car, like ducked down, and then pulled out in front of me, and I had to slam on the brakes, and I had the window down. He's like, give me the keys. And I eventually gave them to him because I was 15 and he hit me.
Yeah. My buddy Chad, he...
he stole a car when he was 15.
Right. My buddy Chad, he lived on a farm growing up, and his parents, grandparents had an old truck, and it was a farm-use truck. And, I knew Chad in college, so when we would go back to his farm, we would take this truck. It was still the farm truck. He had been driving that thing apparently on the farm since he was 10 years old.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing that I'd ever heard of. Even as someone who's an adult who had his driver's license and all that, I was like, you mean to tell me you could drive this truck anywhere you wanted to?
But that's not the only payoff for being a kid
on a farm where you have to work. Right,
right. Exactly. I mean, because, like, right, they got to drive all the stuff and operate machinery, and part of you, especially the younger you are, like, that is so cool.
Like, the flip side all is, the time.
My parents did not wake me up at 4:30 in the morning to grab a cow by the nipples and squeeze milk out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or shovel horse poop.
I'm with you. I would have been jealous that he got to drive that thing for since 10.
Sure.
Would you give up a summer and work on the farm as a kid? So you could, like, look, you'll get to drive some of this equipment when it's appropriate, but you still got to do the rest of the farm stuff.
No.
Yeah, no chance.
They're, right.
And your parents will never allow you to be able to wake up earlier than they are. Like, even if your dad got up when you were growing up at 6 and you got up at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get up at 6, he's up at 4:30.
Well,
like, he's still going to be up an hour and a half earlier than you, and he is probably going to contact you, but he is just going to try to lay off until 7.
No, but there's an age when that happens. And I'm not sure what age you have to hit, but, like, Mike, on the weekends, if the kids want to get up early, I don't. And keep in mind, the early to them is like 6. I'll get out of bed by 7:30, 8 o'clock if I have to. I'm awake, but I'm not getting up with them. And I know that at some point that's going to shift where I'm going to be up early and rousing them out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it, though.
Well, the reason why I asked, what
maybe
was
not
the,
on the weekends, though. Because when I was a kid, getting up for school was the hardest thing in the world.
Oh, it sucked.
But we, I don't know why, but we got up bright and early every Saturday. And
cartoons.
Sunday. Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would do it Saturdays right for the cartoons. Didn't really do it Sunday.
Yeah, you're right.
But like my kids, and it's probably true of most people's kids, you know, Monday through Friday, try to get them up for school by like 7:15 at the latest. And it's forever to get them out of bed, and they're tired, and they're going to go out to weekends. It's like, it is 5:45 a.m. You're both wide awake. You've already colluded. You've come up with your plans for the day. Like, where the F is this on school day, man?
I do remember this, though. And the difference was, on a school day, you were in a rush. You didn't get up.
Right.
You're hurrying to the bus stop. Maybe you grabbed a piece of toast. Maybe you grabbed a bowl of cereal, whatever that deal was. On the weekends, I do distinctly remember waking up to at least one day of the smell of bacon or pancakes or something in the morning.
Yeah.
Where I was like, all right, I'm getting up, man.
Was,
you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between a weekday and a weekend for me. Was like, I smell pancakes.
You know what? You're right, man. Breakfast.
I'm up. Yeah.
Cooked
I'm up.
Breakfast.
Right. Yeah. I got my ass up every time. It's just that simple. Still would to this day, if anybody's interested. The reason we asked, what was the most terrible thing you got into trouble-wise as a teen? 18-year-old named Nicholas Tazarikas and his 17-year-old friend snuck into an old abandoned hotel in Middletown, Ohio last Wednesday. This is about 30 miles north of Cincinnati, I guess towards Dayton or somewhere. Apparently they were just bored, wanted to check the place out. It's an old abandoned hotel and they didn't have anything to do. But two city officials who were having lunch nearby saw the two go inside and they called the cops. It turned out at the exact same time, an entire team of officers were training about a dozen canine units right next door. So they're the ones who responded. They surrounded the hotel with 11 police dogs and moved in on the teenagers. One of the dogs eventually found them hiding in a hotel room. According to the cops, the dog, quote, showed force and scared them pretty good, so they immediately gave themselves up. They ended up paying a $100 fine for criminal trespassing, also had to cover the court costs, blah, blah, blah. It's just pretty funny then. You're breaking into hotel. You're just going in there to look around. They really, there's nothing in there to steal.
They're not up to anything, sure.
It was just a matter of going in there. Now you're surrounded by 11 police dogs.
And the thing is, man, I don't know what it is. And look, the dogs are scary. The dogs are scary. I have no question about that. But it's, at least in Baltimore, it just seemed to me, you know, cops would chase some dude down the street. This is all the time, every day. Some guys are armed. They're going to dispose of the weapon. The cops are like, I will shoot you. The gun. The cop has a gun in his hand, and people still run, right? Even if the cops had their guns drawn, people would still scatter. If the same cop threatened to let go of their dog, that got you frozen place.
Yeah.
People would rather deal with a bullet to their body than deal with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
100%. And it was amazing to me. I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe because you know the cop won't catch you and you know that the dog will.
Right. It's not going to be pretty when the dog gets there.
Man, I used to have a Belgian shepherd, all right? And if you don't know, they basically look like German shepherds. They almost look like they're bigger because they're fluffier. But there's no muscle in it. It's a pretty lean dog, all right? So I had one, kind of adopted this thing. And everyone in Baltimore thought it was a former canine dog. And if you live in Baltimore and people believe that, you encourage them to believe that. Because no one's going to mess with you, right? So I'm like, yeah. That's it. Dog was the biggest pee on earth, right? Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, former canine dog. So everyone thought it was a German shepherd. And then this one dude comes up to me, and Ted, you'll appreciate it. Young Black! Because that's what he yells to me. He comes over and he's like, Man, that's a Belgian Shepherd. I said, yeah, it's about, man, everyone thinks it's a German Shepherd. How'd you know? Man, the riots in 1976 at Lexington Market. This is his story. The cops came, man. All the brothers scattered. I hid in a goddamn dumpster on the corner of Lexington and Utah. They let go of the dogs. And I heard chick, chick, chick on top of the dumpster. It opened the door, looked down at me and growled. And I just put my hands up and said, take me to jail. He said, I'll never forget it in my life. That's how I know a Belgian Shepherd. I was like, damn, that is a, I thought maybe you just like dogs,
maybe
bro.
Maybe your aunt owned like, one.
That's right. No, that's the riots of 76. Like,
random, right. random.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's like, that's how I know. Random, hello, Rich, random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Random.
Hello, Rich.
Come on, Rich.
We'll you get back to him later, he's there.
All right.
Hello, Shane, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hello.
Hola.
Hello, Shane.
Hello.
Shane, let's see here. What do we got for you?
Okay. What is the longest you've gone without something that you really need? So what is... Basically, it's a blank question. Longest I went without blank is blank.
Oh, man.
Voluntarily, involuntarily, you might have gone on a diet and given up something for 3 months.
Like, the most I went without sex was up until I lost my virginity. And even though the time after that wasn't as long, it felt as long.
Oh, I don't know. I guess, shoot.
You ever quit anything?
I've ever quit anything?
Yeah.
Cigarettes, booze?
Yeah, I actually used to be a pretty bad drug addict, and, I got like 6 years off of that now, so.
Oh, that's a pretty good amount of time.
And you're just thinking of that now.
Yeah, exactly.
That, like that would be my first answer to the question.
What kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of drugs?
Whatever you had. I used to do meth and heroin, and I used to be a hobo for a while, and then I turned it all around about 5 years ago, and now I got a family and a great job, and. Okay. I haven't looked back since.
How much weight did you gain from since you stopped doing all those drugs?
Well, I'm naturally a really skinny guy. I'm like 6'4", and I don't know, 170. But back when I was doing real bad, I was the least I weighed was maybe 127, 130 pounds.
Damn. What was the breaking point for you?
6'4". I was homeless for a good, like, 3 years, and I was living in a recycle bin, and there was, like, a really cold winter night, and it got down in below the 20s, and I passed out during the day, and I woke up, and I was almost dead, and then I was just like, F this, I don't want to do this anymore, and, like, I'm done, and I just got on it and changed my life around.
Hey, look, man, I did the homeless thing, too, now for 3 years, a couple of months. But it is amazing to me. Anytime you hear these stories, it's like, look, the condition of living out there, you just figure it out and you survive, right? But there's always this one moment. But it's weird. It's like, put it this way. It's the equivalent of saying, I shouldn't have done that last shot. You discounted the 12 beers. So, like, you lived in a recycling bin. That's not, and think about this, that's not what snapped things around. It's that one night it got really cold. Then you go, you know what? Maybe this isn't how I want to do things.
Yeah, and then once that happened, like, everything fell into place. I'm like, I'm 20-whatever years old, and this is retarded. What am I doing with my life?
Sure. When you're living in a recycling container, and I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but, like...
Well, how many different people can you ask?
I know.
I mean, like, this is your moment.
This is your window. Right?
Like, are people throwing recyclers stuff still in there? Is it just your container? Did you, like, scout it out?
Well,
like,
well, it was, I'm in Skagit County, and it was, in the, it was out behind the community action there, and, the way they had it set up was, it was behind a fence, right? So the garbage guys, they'd come up, and they'd open it up, and then they'd kind of, then I'd feel them start to move it, so I'd be like, oh, hey, I'm in here, dump me in the, don't squish me, so.
Did you wake up every time? I mean, I would just fear that once I'm going to oversleep and wake up as I'm getting compressed.
No, that yeah, I guess you don't really think about that when you're doing that kind of drugs.
Okay.
I guess if you live in a recycling bin, you're probably not thinking about those kinds of semantics.
When you take out your
for sure
your recycling now, does every once in a while you remember where you used to be? In other words, it's recycling day. And you
like
take
normally
it out.
This bag would have dumped
normally
on my head.
I would have lived in here, but now I'm taking it out. I'm glad I turned my life around. Do you have that thought?
Not necessarily when I'm taking out recycling, but there's other things that pop into my head every once in a while, or I'm doing something. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm not there.
Any of your associates from those days have any stories like your own? Or are they still?
Well, I got a couple people that have that I used to, I don't know, hang out with back then that are doing a little better, but a lot of them are dead, and
sure,
a lot of them are still doing that thing. So
okay, all right. Reason we asked, what was the longest you went without whatever? There was a ferry that sank, and survivors floated for a week, a full week without water, and this is off the coast of New Zealand.
What is the irony of that? You know, like, because Iron Maiden said it, you know, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. You know, I'm dying of thirst, but I'm floating in the freaking ocean.
This is quite the ferry, too, because it was like a two-day trip.
Oh, damn.
So the ferry was carrying at least 50 people, according to the BBC. It did not arrive as scheduled, and for unknown reasons, New Zealand's military, which is responsible for patrolling that area in question, was not notified until a week later. According to the New York Times, an air search began, and seven passengers, including a 14-year-old girl, were found floating in a 16-foot aluminum dinghy. A search spokesperson says that they have counted a total of eight survivors. But the ones who did survive, they survived 1 week without water, which is
that's crazy.
Yeah, I always heard, like, after 4 or 5 days, you just start shutting down.
Random, no idea how that happened.
Random, hello, random, Nick. Random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Welcome.
All right, Nick, what do we have here? Nick, let's go with this one. Nick, how old are you?
I'm 22.
I'm not going to go with that one. All right. Let's go with this one. Nick, what did you used to believe? Maybe when you're a young buck teenager there a couple years back, you had certain beliefs in your life? But you don't believe that anymore.
I don't know. I'm probably invincible.
Okay. Is that because of injury?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The law.
Oh, the law. All right.
You know what? It seems like the law is always a bigger deterrent than injury. For whatever reason, you know, I went back out there and tried it again. I broke my wrist 3 times. It's like, dude, I got arrested, mm-hmm. And I stopped doing blank.
What were you getting in trouble for?
Drinking and driving, being an idiot.
Okay. And I guess you can't afford that lifestyle anymore?
No, it's the attorney fees and, you know, in my career, I couldn't do it again.
What do you think the final total was, time-wise, money-wise?
Well, I'm still kind of going through it, but so far, I'm, I don't know, 15 and a half grand in.
Jeez. 15 and a half grand in. Was this a first-time offense, or were there multiple offenses?
First time, but I'm getting it dropped to a reckless because I spent 15. But if I wouldn't have, it could have costed me upwards of, I don't know, 50.
Why is bribery illegal? Right, I mean, I know a system's in place, this is how they do it, but in the end, isn't that all it is? And even when you post bail, like, you're a danger to the community, you've screwed up, we're putting you behind bars, here's $6,000, all right, enjoy your day, we'll let you know. Like, basically, if you pay, then whatever crime, and obviously I know murder's different and all that, but all these little petty crimes, like, well, you spent 15 grand so far, so we'll go ahead and knock it down.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of the problem with bail, right? Some people can get a bail, but then you just stay in the system. You keep getting put up for bail. If you can't pay the bail, you're just going to sit there on some random charge.
But that's what I mean. If you've got the money, then you can get out, at least temporarily, up until the court date, you can get out of your situation.
Some of that stuff is just a matter of having a lawyer that shows up in court for you, and the judge will treat you different.
But I just feel like, prostitution and bribery should be legal, right? Cop pulls me over, man, I'm speeding. I know I was speeding. Maybe we like each other, but I was going so fast, he's going to write me a ticket anyway, because you get cops that will even take it down. Like, hey, man, I busted you going 84. I'm going to write 72 so you can save for some money. How about I give you $200 and this didn't happen? Like, what difference does it make? Because in the end, you're going to send me a bill that charges me. Right? The
reason we asked, what did you used to believe? This is insane. A meth-fueled driver who capped off a box truck sexcapade in Queens crashed into a car and explained his predicament to cops by telling them drugs and alcohol make you more awake. Stephen Walker and another man were high and having sex in the truck, which was parked in a lot near Kennedy Airport, when a jilted boyfriend of one of the men arrived at the scene. The sudden appearance of the ex-boyfriend startled the men, who then decided to ditch the scene, according to what sources said. I crashed because we were having sex, Walker allegedly told the cops. Yes, I was driving the truck. Yes, we were on crystal meth. The truck slammed into the back of a silver four-door sedan, and law enforcement arrived. Then the truck rammed into a fence, and its cabin was completely crushed. Well, Walker managed to escape without his pants. And he hid, are you ready, in an empty horse trailer in an animal shelter and screening facility for creatures arriving from abroad. He was in there with a bunch of crazy animals. But after a few minutes, he decided to leave the trailer to alert first responders to his lover, who was actually stuck inside the truck's cabin and was, you couldn't see him. He was basically
That's
on the
kind
floor.
Of him.
They said first responders used an extraction tool to remove the man, who was also naked from the waist down, and take him to Jamaica Hospital for treatment. After Walker was hospitalized, he told the police, "We're doing drugs. The crystal meth belonged to me. Drugs and alcohol, they make you more awake."
Yeah, says the guy not wearing pants.
Right, and crashing cars.
Random question, 844-999-OLUM, where your call's coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, the categories today as we talk about significant others and spouses, things that annoy you about your your other side there, and 10 ways that you appreciate them. So as far as your spouse goes and your relationship goes, are you annoyed? Are you appreciated? Those are the categories coming up. A very challenging. Your guess is as good as mine.
It's only challenging if your significant other is with you when you play the game.
Probably
right?
Not a good idea.
We know that.
Right. Yes,
oh, no,
exactly.
The 10 things I appreciate, of course.
That's on the way after emails from our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Conrad. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Conrad. Goodbye, Conrad. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Kevin, let's see here. Let's go with this one. This is a good one.
I feel like this men's room was made for me. You guys have cop dogs, a dope team, and somebody got a DUI.
Okay.
Only the best went to United Nations.
That's right.
That's right.
Let's go with this one. What is the biggest mistake or accident that you've ever made, Kevin? When did you really just mess up?
Oh, God. I rolled my car down 520 in 2009.
How many times did you roll it?
Three and a half.
Okay. How quickly did it happen?
You know what? The only thing I remember was waking up and a policeman gently reminding me that I wasn't supposed to go anywhere.
Were you upside down in the car?
I was upside down in the car.
Where did he think you were going to go at that moment?
What about my dentist appointment, sir? I mean,
yeah. So apparently, I was turning the key, trying to turn the car back on upside down with my seatbelt on.
That'd have been a hell of a thing if it went down the road.
I would have been rich.
Okay, so don't go anywhere. Like, no problem. I'll just sit here. How long were you hanging upside down?
You know, again, time in that relative space is, I have absolutely no idea. I do know, you know, I left the bar at about midnight, and I think, you know, by the time I got booked and all that stuff, it was about 5 or 6 a.m. So there was a substantial amount of time.
Did you suffer any injuries?
Besides an enormous blow to my ego, I separated my shoulder. I had like a 32 staples in my forehead. Superficial wounds, but nothing that I still, you know, deal with today.
Okay, what kind of car?
It was my girlfriend's car, and it was, it was like a grocery getter, like an Oldsmobile, something, four door, you know, all the bells and whistles, looks really nice.
Now, what does she say the first time you see her after you've trashed your car, get arrested? What is her mood? Like, does the temperature drop 40 degrees when she walks into the room?
Yeah, so ironically enough, I had called her from the jail and made up a story, obviously, that she found out was completely, it was false altogether. I told her that I'd gotten into a fender bender, like, down near Lake Union.
Yeah, fender bender.
Fender bender, yeah. and then I was incarcerated for a long period of time. So, yeah, the first time I saw her, she was on the other side of the glass, and she was very upset.
Did she stick with you? How long were you in jail?
I was in jail for 40 months.
40 months? Holy S, man.
40 months?
It wasn't my first.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It wasn't your first DUI?
Correct.
Okay, that explains a lot then. What DUI was that for you?
Number six.
Oh,
number six.
Number six.
Number six.
Number six. That's just a round even six pack.
Did you hear this? Like when
number
you went to court?
Six.
Number six. Why did they sing that to you when you get when you officially hit six?
No, they weren't that night.
Huh.
I'll be damned. Okay. Wow, yeah.
What, is that the last time that you got a DUI?
Great question. Yes, last time, 8.5 years sober.
Okay, nice. Nice.
Okay. All right. Reason we asked what was the biggest mistake, accident you've ever been made, that's a big one right there.
That one's big.
That answers this question. They say it's a problem almost no one can relate to. We go to St. Petersburg, Florida. The valet handed the keys of a $300,000 Ferrari to the wrong person. It happened in July at the Vinoy Renaissance St. Petersburg Resort and Golf Club, according to the police, who ended up arresting the man and the woman who drove off in it. Now the owner of that yellow 2014 Ferrari 458 Italia Spider, he has filed a lawsuit against the hotel and its parking operator. Lawsuit and police report tell the tale of how a brightly colored Italian sports car worth six figures was stolen with apparently minimal effort. Basically, it went down like this. A guy and a girl that he just met had been drinking at the bar.
All right.
They decide to walk out, and the guy points to the car and says, "Hey, I need the key to my Ferrari. I've got a really busy night." The man seemed to be impatient and demanding that he needed the car right away, asking the man please to hurry, according to the police report. He told the valet the ticket was inside the car. He didn't know if he left it at the bar. He would bring it back. He'll find the damn thing. He didn't. Instead, the two sat in the Ferrari for, quote, quite a while. The valet police and everyone else, I guess, he basically drove off with the car and had it for like 6 hours.
The car best 6 hours of his
life. The car
life.
Was leaving the Jordan Park area and about to get on northbound I-275 when the taillights weren't working. The driver also had difficulty driving the car. So basically, he pulled the car over and told him that he was a Marine driving his father's car, all of which was a bunch of crap, and they found the cocaine in the side of the door and the weed on the girl. Random question, 844-999-OLA.
OLA, the shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.